Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Davis, and I have with me tonight my wife, Nadine. How are you doing, baby?
I'm fine, thank you.
And welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship. We want everybody to know that this is a nonprofit ministry, and that it's a 501c3. And like Jesus, we don't receive any funds for our ministry. All funds and offerings and tithes and offers, whatever we want to call it, that come to this ministry go directly to the needy and to the upkeep of the ministry as far as administrative needs. And I want you guys to know, we can get that out of the way, but also I want you guys to know, you'll be free. You're welcome, those who are listening in by the internet. Feel free to call in and to join us if you'd like to join this conversation. And the conversation tonight is, our pride stops our faith in God from working. Let me say it again to you. Our pride stops our faith in God from working. Now, if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight, you got to call in. And the phone number to call in is 657-383-1624. Again, that is 657-383-1624. We're going to talk about a lot of things tonight concerning discipleship, and there is two. There's two disciples. There's one that follows Christ, and there's one that follows the devil. So we're going to discuss both of those, and we're also going to discuss how faith works. And we're going to also discover what hinders us from actually becoming a child of God, and also when we point fingers at people who are still going through, and we look at them like they ought to be punished, but we're going to discuss that also. So, again, this is a live broadcast, so if you guys are calling in, please mute your phones, and when the Holy Spirit gives you something to say, please feel free to share it with us, because we do want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And, of course, we're not the whole body of Christ. So please feel free to call in and share what the Lord is telling you. Also, don't forget, every Tuesday night, my wife has a broadcast. And her broadcast is called Life's Uncertain Journey. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. And to join her on her broadcast every Tuesday night, you have to call in, and the phone number there, I don't see it here, Mrs. Davis.
929-477-3427.
Say it again for me, please.
929-477-3427.
All right. So if we're going any further, y'all, I like the Holy Spirit leads. As you know, the Holy Spirit leads the group, and what we do, co-host. Because we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide and lead us to what we're to say and how to say it, that the purpose of this ministry is one-fold. We got one goal, and that is that goal is to make disciples. That's the one and only goal we have here. So before we go any further, Mr. Davis, would you like to pray us in?
Father God, we thank you for this another opportunity, Lord, you give us to give you glory. We ask in the name of Lord Jesus that you be present with us tonight. Holy Spirit, please speak through our hearts. Please allow us to only share those things, Lord God, that are supported by your word, that will edify our hearers, that will bring them to a place of wholeness and freedom in you. And so we turn the whole evening over to you so that you can have your way in our hearts. Transform us, Lord God, in the image of your Son so that we can please you and represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, baby. One thing we're going to do, I like when my wife joins, because we call it double teaming the devil. And she's, as you know, she's a minister herself, and has great insight on the Word of God. And we try to walk this thing out. And as you know, we do not answer people, but the more you study the Word, the more you become knowledgeable of the Word, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Becoming a disciple from Christ and what hinders us from walking that walk. Mr. Davis, would you like to read some of the things I wrote tonight? Do you feel like reading?
Okay.
Okay, start with discipleship right here, please.
Disciples of the devil can't understand what God is saying through us, Jesus' living disciples. It's because the devil has blocked their hearing, so they can't hear the good news about Jesus. Scripture says that the enemy has blinded their minds so that they cannot hear the good news of the gospel. They are children of their father, the devil, and they love to do evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character because he is a liar and the father of lies. So the devil's disciples naturally don't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, according to John 8:43-45. Jesus' living disciples, even before God made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided to advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Ephesians 1:4. But we can't boast about anything we did because this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This was accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. If we think we can condemn such people, we were just as bad and we had no excuse. When we say that they are wicked and should be punished, we are condemning ourselves because we who judge others did these very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things, according to Romans 2:1-2. The devil has a lot of people in bondage, but we should pray for them. We are Jesus' living disciples. The Lord hears our prayers, and such prayers are offered in faith. It will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. And if we've committed any sins, we will be forgiven too. Confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we and our beloved ones may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. But remember, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards us who sincerely seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to discuss a little bit tonight what it means to be a disciple and walking it out. In the Bible, they discuss many times what you give a comparison with the sun and the moon. The moon and the sun both shine all the time, but when the sun comes up, you can't see the moon. And so that's a comparison of how much we love our parents and stuff compared to how much we love Christ. And so we love them, but the comparison to love that we have for Christ, that love that we have for our parents and loved ones, it doesn't compare. So that's what we want to let everybody know, that when we're talking about the love that we have for the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which are one, we got to recognize and realize that it's a walk of life, and it's a way that we are to be. He has to come first in our life, even before ourselves. And if we don't realize that, then the devil has a chance to sneak in. This is a faith walk we're walking. It's not a walk that human understanding. It's a walk that we have to surrender all. If you want to follow Christ, the Bible says to us, the cost is everything. Okay, there was a rich man in the Bible who went to Christ, and he was still following the Old Testament, and he asked the Lord, he said, what does it cost to be a disciple? And the Lord told him, go sell everything and come and follow me. Well, the Bible says the rich man was rich, had so much stuff that he just left feeling sad, because that meant he had to give everything up. Well, the Bible tells us this was, he was in the Old Testament, he didn't want to lose the thing, but remember what the Bible says. We're to enjoy the things of this world, but we're not to worship them. And any time we have a something that we put before the Lord, it's worshiping. It's demonic. And the demonic things, we can't serve two masters, whether it be our wives, whether it be our children, whether it be our finances, possessions, anything. Anything we put before God. It's really what they call spiritual adultery. Okay, and so, and it's worshiping idols. And pride is something people don't consider as an idol, but it can be our idol. In other words, like we were raised like this, and we do it this way. That's a tradition, and that's something we worship. But it's not about God, so we have to learn to decrease and let His word increase, and that's the process. Mr. Davis, would you like to share something?
Yeah, the beauty of this salvation that God has provided us, and helping us to understand why we even have this relationship with the Father, I think is critical. A lot of people get the feeling that they're bad, that they're wicked, and sad as it may be, we are wicked, all of us, every single one of us, even those of us that say we are Jesus' living disciples.
Amen.
Okay? In and of ourselves, we have nothing to offer God. But the gospel message is about what God did to deal with that. He sent His Son. Okay? His Son had the express goal of carrying all of our sins, all the wickedness, all the evil that is bore in each and every one of us. He came to deal with that so that we could be reunited with our Father. You see, it's a spiritual communion that we have with God. But we can't commune with God if we're in sin, because, you know, God can't tolerate sin. That's why He told Adam and Eve in the garden, do what I say, you're fine, but if you don't do what I say, you're going to die. And so most of us were born into the world not knowing this, but we had a death sentence over our head. But that was because of the work of the enemy, who decided that he wanted to separate us from our relationship with God. But God took care of that in the garden. In Genesis 3:16, He told Satan, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to declare war between you and the woman. The woman you just deceived, her seed is going to crack your skull, and your seed are going to nip his heel. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus died on the cross. That was the nipping of the heel. But when He rose up from the grave, guess what? He came up with all power in His hands. And that's when He took all authority away from Satan over our lives. Okay? So He came. Jesus was raised up from the grave after He was crucified by people who He came to save. And at that cross, He asked His Father, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. So we have this new life because of Jesus. That's where our relationship with Him should begin. We should be grateful, because the other alternative to not having this wonderful relationship with the Son of God is that we're bound for hell. Absolutely, positively, bound for hell. Jesus is the only ticket out, because He wants to redeem us. He wants to transform us, so that we can be what God intended us to be, which is children of God.
Amen. Thank you, wife. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, this is a faith walk. And I'm going to read three different versions of faith, three different inside the Bible. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, God saved us by His grace when we believed, and we cannot take any credit for this. It is a gift from God. In Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. We're talking about salvation. Also in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we know now, what we now see, did not come from anything that can be seen. We're talking about a God. When we talk about faith, we're talking about the unseen. We're talking about just like, for example, when he says, he loved us and nothing can separate us from him. Nothing is an absolute word. When we talk about God, he's an absolute. There's a lot of people say the word or something absolute, like always, but those words that we lose down here, the earth right here, those things are not absolutes. Heaven is an absolute. The hell is an absolute. The fiery, the river that God's going to throw them into, a lake of fire, is an absolute truth. Okay? So we have absolutes. Faith is an absolute. Those are the things we don't have the control. We have faith in the Lord, but that faith grows, okay? But the thing is, though, we can't do, when we talk about we have faith, it can grow into, you know, it can grow and grow and grow. But no one down here has absolute faith. We grow into that. Only God is absolute faith. So we believe that he will do what he said he would do. And as we grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God as disciples, we have to walk that out. We have to walk with believing what he said. At one time in the Bible, it talks about Jesus and disciples was in a boat going across the, a lake. And he told them, and before we get in the boat, let's go the other side. He told them, we're going to the other side. But in the middle of the lake, Jesus had fell asleep, and the disciples got scared because the storm came up, and the water started getting in the boat, and they got afraid. They said, Lord, Lord, we're going to drown. The waves are such a wind. And Jesus told them, oh, ye of little faith. Now, the reason he said that is not because the storm and stuff was happening. They said that because in the very beginning, before they got on the boat, he told them, we're going to the other side. His word was already established. God don't lie. Jesus and God are one. He doesn't lie. So when he said we're going to the other side, just like when we're going through this life that we're going through. That's why when we talk to my wife teaches on Tuesday nights, Life and Certain Journey, we have the victory. That's what the word said. We're his children. But the testimonies we go through, that's the storms and stuff. But he said we got the victory. We're going to the other side of life is salvation. We got that. But a lot of times we fall off and we get stuck. Well, this ain't real. This ain't real. And we get out the boat of security. We get out from under the faith that God has given us to say, oh, I got you. We forget the words he said, no matter what, nothing can separate us from his love. We forget that when sickness is coming, something's happening, a financial issue. We forget that when the COVID comes. We forget all those things that God said, I got you. We're going to the other side. I got you. We're with me. And the Bible says we were in Christ Jesus. Like we just read that before the earth was formed. It was his pleasure to do that. But we forget who we are. And then the work make it worse. We just read it a while ago. We point at people who're still in bondage like we used to be. All of a sudden, we got to point at people because we got salvation. But then when we fall, we make excuses for ourselves. But when other people fall, we point them out. So we can't have two standards. That's why the third book of Romans talks about, you know, God's going to, when you talk about pointing a finger at somebody else, the second thing he said, well, we're guilty ourselves because we judge the things. Do you know that men judge while people are living, but God judges when we're dead? The Bible says that when the end day come, the goddamn, the sea going to give up their dead, and the grave going to give us dead, and even those who are living going to come before the Lord. And then he's going to separate them based on what your deeds were. That's afterwards. But right now, what we're doing, we're judging our brothers and sisters before they get a chance to change. And, you know, and are we hindering somebody else's faith? We're supposed to be the light of Christ now down here. And the light of Christ is supposed to point people to Christ. But are we pointing people to Christ or are we pointing them to hell? Are people running away from God because of us? Would you like to share something, Mr. Davis? I see you reading something. Okay. So, but what we have to do is remember something. our purpose that God has called us for, when he saved us, for one reason. But he says, go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what we're doing is we considered going to get them, but when we go get them, are we like the old Pharisees and making them worse than what we are? In other words, are we feeding them man-made traditions? A lot of churches celebrate different holidays. Nothing wrong with celebrating holidays. But let's make sure that we're teaching them truth. When we talk about, you know, a holiday, it's there's holidays that man traditions that, like, for example, I'll give you a good one, Christmas. The purpose of the Christmas is supposed to be about Christ. But if you know today what they've done, they said, well, we're going to start selling things early for the Christmas. Now, what does selling things have to do with the birth of Christ? It's a tradition that's come into the place of what's supposed to be the remembering Christ. See, his birth was there, but now they're talking about, they don't talk about the Christ, they don't talk about that because they're saying, you can't say that. You got to say holiday. But it's about Christ. Forget the time it is, it's about Christ. Forget what day they celebrated, it's about Christ. So what does, we got to make all these offers and sell these things and get them through the mail for you can have them for your kids or for you can have your gift before that day. That day, that has nothing anymore to do with the reason of the day. Thanksgiving is another thing. You know, you have the day where people inside the churches are like, well, this day, we're going to be giving. The day of giving has nothing to do with, what they're celebrating. The Lord doesn't have a day for giving. He says that we are to be giving when we can give. And it didn't say what day to do that. Men are making traditions, and we who call ourselves disciples of Christ are following the world instead of the world following us. You have the holidays. Churches even celebrate Halloween. And they make excuses and say, we'll have a celebration inside the church. And they dress up with all these demon clowns, clowns or the little princesses and stuff like that. All those things are fake because you'll be teaching our children wrong. God doesn't celebrate no pagan holidays. Jesus never did. So when we talk about celebrating a especially a demonic holiday, which is Halloween, look what it is. I mean, it was witches and goblins. They try to change it up in the church and say, we're going to make a little princesses and stuff. You can dress it any kind of way you want it. It's still about goblins and demons and stuff of that nature. It's still about that. You know, 4th of July, they shoot guns and stuff like that. We celebrate independence. Do you know there's no such thing as independence on this earth? There's no such thing. The only thing that's free that is when you go into Christ and you're free in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't get us the right to sin. The Bible says, should I keep on sinning? The Word says, no, God forbid it. But we do it anyway. And so when we talk about being Christian, talk about following Christ, are we following Christ partially? Are we following Christ totally? Are we not following Christ at all? And you can't have it both ways. You can't have it three ways, only one way. Either you're following Christ or you're not following Christ. These things of this world are going to pass away. So we can keep on talking about laying up money and I got to do this for my grandchildren and children. The Bible tells you, you save with the money and you don't know who ends up spending it. You don't know even what's happened. So we can. Do you know, I was talking today when we was on prayer service, and the Lord had told me right before that, he said there's no such thing as a third world country. But man made one. They made a whole bunch of them. Because they don't have what this maybe United States has. They're a little lacking this or that, or maybe it'd be utensils, or maybe not utensils, but the sewage system or roads and stuff like that. Maybe they'll have the houses that we have. But they survived all these years. When the United States, a lot of people came here from the United States because of undeveloped country, and this world, this United States is not built on love and happiness like they think it is. Love and happiness is not in this world. God is about love and happiness. If this love and this world was built on love, then Jesus came in this world because God so loved the world. But the thing is, though, what did they do when he came in here? They killed him. But he said that the ones who are here now, like us, who are here now, if they did Christ in, for telling the truth, What do you think it'll do for us? But we're afraid to tell the truth and read the Bible and then tell it like it is because we don't want to lose our friends. We don't want to get put out of this called circles. We don't want to be called, what do you call these people? What do you call the people in your, they're crazy. They're all gung-ho about this Lord or about the subject or something. You know. But the thing is, you have a lot of people that say you don't have to do all that that's in the Bible. Well, I say this to you. We are to follow Christ. That's what he says, to follow him. Even Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So the things, and when you had a bunch of disciples one time that actually went out and did miracles, and they came back and told Christ, look, we healed the sick, and they actually raised the dead and did some other things. And they told the Lord, say, we did all these things. But then when Christ told them, well, now you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, it was too hard of a word. What does that mean? You got to follow him. You got to do what the word of God, the flesh of God is the word of God. Now you got to be obedient and do what he said do. And what did they say? This is too hard. See, the blood that you're drinking is the salvation because you're receiving, you know, your forgiveness of sin. But the thing is, though, you don't want to. They don't want their sins forgiven. They don't want to follow the word of God. What they want to do is just the miracles. So what did Christ tell us about today? He says, we know the signs of time. We can tell when it's going to be storming and raining, night, but he can't tell the signs of time. That was way back when Jesus told Nicodemus. The same thing goes today. Same thing goes today. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see the pandemic. We see this. Every time man try to con something, God sends something else. The Bible says the whole earth groans and grumbles and waiting for the Lord to come. Only if people ain't waiting is us. Like we think we're going to keep on living. But the Bible also says when Christ comes back, people are going to be celebrating like ain't nothing going on. And then he's going to come. You see? And we're going to get caught up those looking for the Lord and waiting on the Lord and doing the will of the Lord. That's what's going. Are you going doing the will of God? Think about what's going on. This is not a joke thing we're talking. This is salvation. This is the hope that you understand that God is, and he's watching everything, even our secret thoughts. The Bible says that the word of God cuts all the way through the mirror, all the way to the soul. So there's nothing we can hide from God. There's nothing. As the disciples told God, Jesus, when the 5,000 left, said, where are we going? Where can we go? You everywhere. You inside us. You everywhere. The same thing that we need to say the same thing. The walk that we have is a walk that is supposed to be the light of the world. We all make mistakes, y'all. That none of us have arrived. None of us have it going on. We all pressing towards the same mark. That's why Paul says, I press towards that mark. The mark we're pressing towards is Christ Jesus. We all fall short. That's why Christ died for our past sins, he died for our present sins, and he died for our future sins. That's why he did that. And if you say you don't sin, you're calling God a liar. That's what the word of God says. So this is our opportunity to learn. This is our opportunity to grow. This is our opportunity to say, well, Lord, I surrender all. This is the opportunity to, I think it's in Romans, say, confess your sins, you know, and turn to God, humble ourselves, and confess that Lord is that God is your Lord and Savior, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior in your life, and that you will follow him and be obedient to his word. This is the day, and this is the time. You don't know if you live another second. We have people inside of, let me tell you a little story here. The other day I talked, we got a call from the nursing home for my mom. They said she was tested positive for this COVID-19. We didn't reach it that same day, but we talked to nurses and stuff like that, say she's doing pretty good, but she is definitely positive. So we prayed, the wife and I, and stuff like that, and she's the next day, she said, well, let's call mom and check on her. We called her. Mom was talking in plain sense, you know, just as joyful as she could be. That's our God. See, our God don't look at the circumstances. He's the same all the time. Remember our prayers and faith in God that he's a healer, that God can do all things. Like as Mary was, I think it was Mary and also Abraham's wife and a couple other ones back in the day, who wasn't able to have children, but God had, you know, intervened and they had children. You know, so when people say that it is impossible, that's what God did, is possible. With all things, God said is impossible. But with man, it's not. So I just want y'all to know this is the beginning of what we're doing and what we're talking about and what salvation is and how we can reach the level of faith that we need to reach in order for we can begin to operate in faith and not just in this old man-made belief that we can do what God calls us to do. You have something? Did you want to say anything? Okay. Just checking. And brothers and sisters, remember, those who are listening in, please feel free to call in. I know we have a half an hour here, and I did want everybody to know also that beginning next week, our study will not be on Wednesdays anymore. It will be on Thursdays at the same time. I mean, 7 o'clock on Thursdays, same number. Let me see, because I don't remember the number all the time myself. But it's the same number on Thursdays, 657-383-1624. And that'll be Thursdays from this forth. And the reason why is because what we're doing is we're trying to change the format a little bit of the ministry. And my wife and I will both be able at the same time on Thursdays. And we'll be sharing the word, and we'll be asking different, you know, inviting different brothers and sisters that we know are walking in the word, pressing towards that mark, to join us sometime and share what the Holy Spirit has given them. And we just want you to know that you're not alone. We're not alone out here. The struggles that one of us have, we all have, because we're in the body of Christ. And so the reason I say that is because it might not be the same pain that you have, like whether it be finances or sickness, but it's in the same body. So if one part of your body, like your arm or your leg, is hurting, then the whole body hurts. Your whole body hurts. So don't think because you're going through the body of Christ don't feel it, but we do feel it. We all feel it. And so therefore, we are to encourage one another. We are to pray for one another. We ought to confess our sins to one another. And the reason the Bible says to confess our sins to one another, well, we can know that we expose the enemy. See, a lot of times when we try to hide what we've done, that gives the devil a hiding place. And we're not to have any. Let me tell you like this. The Lord says he's come back for a person without spot or wrinkle. So therefore, the Lord can look all through it, so we know. And let me tell you, Jesus said, get the spot of our eye before we get the log out of somebody else's eye. I mean, the log out of our eye before we get the spot out of somebody else's eye. So we can't say we're without sin. We can say that we're pressing towards that mark. And remember, whenever we condemn somebody else, we're condemning ourselves. We are to learn the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, then become doers of the Word of God. Then we share what we're doing. A lot of people are reading and telling them, but they're not doing it. You know what God calls those? He's called hypocrites. And there's a lot of more hypocrites down here than there are disciples down here. Because a lot of us are looking at what somebody, what they're doing, and then pointing out, well, that ain't what it says here, that ain't what it says there. Well, there are many versions in the Bible. I say that to you. And because your Bible says it this way, and another Bible says it that way, the version in the Bible says it that way, like, let me give you some examples for something. Well, like, I like the New Living Translation, and I know the King James Version, I like the Message Version. And we do know that the New Living Translation and the Message Bible are, what do you call it? They're not the originals. They're, what do you call those things?
The paraphrase?
Paraphrase. But it's paraphrased about the Word of God for people like myself to understand it better, okay? When you talk about the old King James, and I don't know today what the old King James looked like, but when I grew up, my uncle used to have this old King James Bible where the words were broken down, but you couldn't understand what they're saying. I'm like a Hebrew words and stuff like that. And my uncle, he understood it, but he couldn't because the words like stuff like that was broken down to a foreign language. But the thing is, though, he had a Bible. That's simple. They had a Bible, so that's the old King James, not the old King James. A lot of people have English. I'm talking about the old King James. Okay. So, but the thing is, though, when we read the Word, God would not have us ignorant of the Word. And the beautiful thing about God today is, I mean, He's always been beautiful, but He said this: even if you don't have a Bible, He's written His Word directly upon our hearts. As His children, and that's who we are, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have different levels. You have babes in Christ, you have young adults in Christ, and you have adults in Christ. Well, the book of Titus tells us about that. The thing is, though, when we talk about those two different levels, sometimes a person, when they've been walking with Christ a long time, don't mean that they're an adult in Christ. They could have been reading the Word and haven't been studying or doing it. So just because you've been in the church a long time and hear the preacher talking, are you putting it into practice? Or are you just one of those bench warmers? And a lot of times, like, we go to church and stuff like that. There was a pastor, a brother that I loved very dearly back in the day, at least about 20, 30 years ago, and he taught me so very much. And when I first went to his church, it was called Church of the Lord's Disciples. Later, he changed it to the Church to Soul Factory. They both go together. They're one church, but they both go together. And one of the things he was teaching us was, a lot of times we go to church and give our tithes and offerings. And when we give a tithes and offerings to a show, believers, that's who we were paying for a show. Because the show was a pastor that did a yippee-hippee and a whole bunch of yelling and hopping and things like that, and a whole bunch of music, the singing and dancing where you got to dance on. Or people, they got the groove on. They got their shout on. That ain't about God. Shouting loud don't mean you say. Shouting loud don't mean that the Holy Spirit's come up in the room. Shouting loud don't mean that you're more spiritual than somebody else. None of that. Remember something. This is about God. This walk about God. This is about getting back in touch with our Lord and Savior, becoming His disciples. And yes, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. And when I say everything, remember, everything is absolute. And it's not easy to do. But don't think that I got it going on like that either. Okay? And nobody I know got it going on like that. Because we're all holding to something, whether it be physical or something in our minds. Okay, something that, you know, material things. But the Lord says everything. And matter of fact, when he tells everything, Abraham, father of faith, you read about him in the Bible, he had a son that he idolized. He had two sons. The first son, Ishmael, he had, was from a bond slave. Okay, but when he sent him away, when Sarah had a son, and that's what I talked about before, when she couldn't have a son, I think 99 or something like that, or 90. When God gave her a baby, how many people you know had a baby at 90? Well, anyway, when the boy who grew up about, I think, preteens or early 20s or something like that, the Lord said, look here, I want you to take and kill him. Why? You know, I ask the question, why? And then I want you to also think about this. When God told him that, the place he had to go was like 3 days away. So he had time to think. First when God told him to do this, because he had idolized, he had made him an idol in his life. He had put him to the level where I love him more than anything. Well, we can't do that. You can hurt your own child. But putting that child, instead of putting God in his life, he puts you in front of God. We're doing it to our children. And when we do our children, then when the children snap back at you, you wonder what's going on, because you're the one who's blocking him from seeing him or her from seeing God. You're doing that. It ain't the child doing it. We're doing it. The devil didn't do it. We did it. And then we wonder why the child rebelled. But did you look at when the child rebelled on us? Did you know what? We rebelled against God when we did that to the child. Then we wonder what happened. Brothers and sisters, this is a walk of life that is not an easy walk. This is a walk until from the womb to the tomb, it's going to be a struggle. And it's not a joke. It's a real thing. And everything that we go through, this is our testimony to tell others about God. This is an opportunity. It's just like this disease that's going on, our family members that are sick and stuff like that. This is an opportunity to show our faith that God is able. But what are we doing? Shut in is not something that hold us back from the Lord. None of that does that. We hold ourselves back from the Lord. It's nothing that the Lord's done. We're doing it. Are we willing to say, Lord, let have thy way. You see, and that's something that a lot of us don't want to do, is let the Lord have his way. But the thing is, it's time for us to let him have his way. These are the last days. These are the last days. And when I say that, I'm just saying what the word of God says. Now, the day to the Lord is like a 1,000 years to us. But 1,000 years to us is like one day to the Lord. Now, do you know anybody that has lived 1,000 years? You see, those are the type of things that's so amazing when we talk about our God. We're like a puff of air. What are we doing with that puff of air? And when we say that, that's what the Bible says. But guess what? We're precious in his sight. We are precious in his sight. That puff of air is precious in God's sight. So remember, while we're here on this earth, let's be obedient. Let's study the word of God. Let's begin to walk the word out. Let's share the word of God. Let's seek out those who are lost, because we were lost one time. And God said, well, he sent, we were in Christ Jesus, but we're still lost. We were in this world until the blindness came off. I remember one day my wife was talking about that before she received Christ, that she thought that God hated her until she read the word. And that word, I think, what book was that?
Isaiah 12.
And he said that, I'm not mad at you. And I'm going to tell you all this. God's not mad at us. Everything we went to God is all we're aware of. We're deceiving ourselves when we think that we can fool God. And we're not supposed to be deceiving people either, y'all. Deceiving people is the same thing as lying. And, you know, the liars are not going to get into heaven. We see people in the shapes and forms that they have today, and we are judging them. But brothers and sisters, remember something. Judge not, lest you be judged. Okay? And so we have a means that God has called us to be, and it's our choice now whether or not we're going to do the will of God. So I want, before I go any further, I want to, if I can find this verse right here for us, I want to read something concerning what Jesus said about disciples. Mr. Davis, can you help me find it? Disciples, to be a disciple of Christ.
So what are you looking for?
Matthew. It's in Matthew. It said, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, while she's looking for that, because he says about his disciples what you have to be. You have to surrender. You see it?
Well, there's several of them in scriptures in the Gospels, but
read a couple of them. That's what I want you to do. Let me try to find this thing. Because, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Let's see. The first one that comes to mind.
We're talking about being a disciple of Christ, okay?
But we all are familiar with Matthew 28, 19 through 20.
Which says?
And that is where Jesus commanded his disciples to make disciples. And he explained to them what they were supposed to do. But the scriptures that talk about how to be a disciple, like in John 8, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So being able to abide in the word of God means you're going to have to know the word of God. You're going to have to study the word of God. John 12:26 says, if anyone sees me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And it goes on to say that in 1 John 2:3-6, and by this do we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And, of course, Luke 14 when Jesus asked him, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. And my husband was explaining that to you a few minutes ago. That is not saying that you're not supposed to love your family. That's not what he's saying. But if you take a preference for your family over God, then you've made a mistake because you can't do that. He has to be first. The first commandment is this. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That goes without question. That's the very first thing. And then you read over in John tells you this, how you do that. He said, we love him because he first loved us. And that means you have to know and understand the gospel message about what God did for you and why it's even the first commandment because of what God has done for us. John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, is the love you have for one another. You can't backbite against your brother and say you're a disciple of Christ. It won't work.
Amen.
So you just uncovered yourself. You just revealed yourself for who you really are. You got to have fellowship and love, even if you disagree about things. You know, nobody's going to agree across the board. But that's not the litmus test that we want. God says you got to love your brother. Love your brother enough to get you willing to lay down your life for him or her. Okay? And so these are the scriptures that are prominent in the scriptures that specifically speak about becoming a disciple. In Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's what we're striving for. We want to be like Jesus. But it's a process. And so it means that we are willing to say yes to him, that we're willing to not live according to our old ways, because you're going to have to give it up. It just won't work.
Amen, babe. I would like you to read some because you read better than I do. On Psalm 17, if you would, please.
God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The other side of that coin is when you step into the light, not only will they be able to see that you're doing what God wants, but they'll also be able to see you doing what God don't want.
Amen.
That's the part that most people want to sidestep. They want you to see all your goodies, you know what I'm saying? But no, I can't let them know this about me. I can't let them know that I cussed my wife out last night. You know, we can't let people know that we, you know, that's our business.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, that's not true in the kingdom.
Uh-uh.
You see? But the light, the beauty about the light is this, is that once that thing is exposed, the devil can't use it against you to bring guilt and shame on you anymore. You know why? Because you can agree with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it, but I'm forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to bring it up to you. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. And if there's something in you that he can accuse you of, believe me, he's coming. But if you put it out there in the light, everybody knows. Because you put it out there. Just like my husband did last night. He put it out there. You know, and that's what it takes. Put it in the light, because guess what? After it's out there, you can go ahead and you ain't have to argue with Satan. When he bring you the accusation, say, yeah, you're right, I did it. But I'm forgiven. But I'm forgiven. That's what God wants you to know. So therefore, if there is no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the law, but we can walk after the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, remember, we're talking about these are Jesus' living disciples. But remember, the devil had disciples too very early. The devil's disciples are totally different. And they cannot understand what God is saying through us to them. You know, because, you know, they're the devil's disciples. The devil has blocked their hearing, so they cannot hear the good news about Jesus Christ. That's the bondage, y'all. We've all been in bondage at one time or another. The bondage that the devil has, it's a terrible thing, y'all. And like, when you see somebody in bondage, don't pray for them. Pray for them, y'all, because it's a terrible thing to be in bondage. They are like children of their father, the devil. And they like to do evil things. They love to do it. That is something that, you know, my wife just read John and talked about how much God loved the Word of Son Jesus. He set up for people like that, like us, y'all. We were just like that. And that's why I'm telling y'all, don't judge a thing before it's time.
Amen.
Don't do it, y'all. The devil is a murderer. Jesus talked about murder when he talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about, you're talking about killing somebody. You don't have to say you killed them physically. You can hate them. See, today, how many people, us so-called brothers and sisters in Christ, hate people? You know, and you can make it all funny. So I just don't like, I just like them very strongly. You can make all the excuses you want. I'm going to tell you like this, that God sees the hearts of man.
Yes, he does.
And that's what he's doing. He's searching us out to be his light. When my wife's talking about coming to the light shines too. See, I think the Bible misses things. The darkness in your eye, how deep is that darkness? How deep is that? And that thing gets into us. That's why we need to confess it. When we don't want to, and this is something about confessing. When you walk with somebody, if a person just became saved like yesterday or last year, and you're going to confess the person not really walking the baby in Christ, that's not right to go to a, just like you got a baby, a one-year-old baby. What good is confessing to that one-year-old baby? That baby can't pray for you. You need to go to someone at least your age in the spiritual realm or higher. I think it's that Titus that talked about that, each one teach one. It goes down and teaches each other. But the thing is, we don't want to be taught because we want to keep on in our mess. What did you pull up there, Mr. Davis?
Well, there's something I wanted to share with people because there needs to be an understanding about the fact that those people who my husband called the devil's disciples, those are normally people who willingly serve Satan.
Okay.
The witches, warlocks, shamans, all those people.
We talked about it.
That's
right.
They are the ones who have said no to God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. However, like he started out in the beginning, they're those who Satan has taken against their will.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to realize how brutal this guy is. Okay, so weak-minded people that don't know, like I was, that was me.
Me too.
I was weak-minded, didn't know what's coming. All I knew was I was in this world and nobody treated me right, and I hated the whole world and everybody in it, you know. But I didn't know, I had no light. There was no light shining for me. So, therefore, I walked in darkness because Satan had me on lockdown. But what I'm telling you is that the Bible says in Acts, the 26th chapter, there's a story Paul tells about himself when he came to faith. You know, Paul used to go around killing Christians.
That's right.
That's what he did, okay? And he was actually on his way to Damascus to string up a whole bunch of people and bring them back for prosecution and to kill them and crucify them for serving Jesus Christ. But he's telling this King Agrippa what happened to him on the road. He said, I was on my way to do this because that's what I did. He says, but God had mercy on me. On the way to Damascus, he knocked me off my horse. I fell to the ground. I lost my sight. They had to carry me to another city.
Mm.
People had to come pray for me. Mm. Ananias found Paul, and came and prayed for him, laid his hands on him, and the scales moved from his eyes. And Jesus spoke to his heart on the road and said, look, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. You see, so that lets us know there's hope for us. You see, we ain't going around killing Christians. We just don't know nothing. But if Christ could have compassion for a man that was killing his people, know that he has compassion for you. All he's asking you to do is believe it. Know that he loves you with an everlasting love. He does not want it. He doesn't go around with a big fly swatter waiting to bop you over your head every time you do something wrong. That's not what this is about. This is about restoring your relationship with him so that you can get to know that your Father. You don't know him. And so he said that in verse 18 it says, get up and stand on, he said, I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord says, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. Get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve as a minister and a witness to testify of me, not only on the things which you've seen, but also the things which will appear, choosing you for myself, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and release us from their sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified. That's our prayer for every lost person in the world. It's the same prayer Jesus told Paul to pray, is the prayer we pray for the lost, that God would turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. You got to pray for people. Just like Ananias had to pray for Paul, we have to pray for people. My mama prayed for me. That's why I'm in the kingdom today, because she prayed for me.
And brothers and sisters, it's getting around the time that we have to say good evening to you, but I'm telling you something. We thank the Holy Spirit for showing up today. We thank him for revealing his word to us. There's never planned what we're going to do or what we're going to say, because the Holy Spirit leads this group, our ministry, and we thank him very much for allowing us to share the word. We ask that he would touch the hearts of those ears and who are listening tonight, and that next week on Thursdays when you guys call in, God willing you will, that you'll share and participate. Because this is the word of God going out to you, to reach out to you to repent, because the kingdom of God is near. This is the time. You don't have to repent and call in and do all that. But where you at tonight, at your home, remember something. You can't go to heaven with sin and anger and hate and violence and all those evil things in your heart. There's no place there for you. Satan's kicked out for those things. So this is the place where you get rid of it, right here on this earth. And get rid of it now. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Those who you've sinned against, ask the Lord to forgive you. And then go to the Lord. Because this is the time. This is the time right now. You don't know when Christ is coming back for you. Okay, that's what I was telling you earlier. When somebody tells you, if you don't take the shot of this COVID thing, you're going to die. That's a lie. Jesus said, all authority was given unto me. That's what he said. So this is the time that we need to realize that we belong to God. We are his children. He is our Father. And remember that you can ask him anything and according to his will, and it will be done unto you. So this is the time. Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord. Help us, Father, to focus on you in everything we do. Help us, Lord, to realize that we belong to you, Lord, that you are our Father, and you living in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that, Father, the purpose of us, dear Father, heaven, is to go and fight. Help us, dear Father, be obedient to your word, dear Father, heaven, and not focus on our own selfishness, Lord. And those things, Lord, are not pleasing to you.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to repent. Help us to confess our sins, Lord. And, Lord, we know that you're just and forgiving, Lord. And so, Father, at this time, we ask you to continue to have your way with us, Lord, and bless the marriages tonight. And help us, dear Father, to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.